وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, Inshallah, we have the class from the book بلوغ المرام للحافظ ابن حجر رحمه الله تعالى. We are still in the book of funerals. We starting from Inshallah تعالى حديث 474. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال we took that hadith. نعم, we started hadith instead from hadith 478. Hadith 478 إن شاء الله. وعن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تدفنوا موتاكم بالليل إلا أن تضطروا. أخرجه ابن ماجه وأصله في مسلم, لكن قال زجر أن يقبر الرجل بالليل حتى يصلى عليه. نار الجابر, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not bury your dead at night unless you are forced to. Do not bury your dead at night unless you are forced to. Ibn Majah reported it. It is basic meaning is in Muslim, but he said he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited that a man be buried at night until prayer is offered on him. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited that a man be buried at night until prayer is over on him. So in this hadith, that it's not allowed to bury the dead without praying Salatul Janazah on it, especially night time, because usually there might not be enough people who are available to pray Janazah prayer on the Muslim. Therefore, it should be waited in the morning. But if there are enough people, like the time of burying is Isha time, like it happened, I remember one of the students of Medina University, who was very beloved, the mashayikh, they know him, rahimahullah, he died, and he was, janazah prayer was performed on him at Isha, after Isha prayer, and Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abbad, Hafidhahullah, was one of those who followed the janazah. So if there are enough people to pray janazah at night, yes. Other than that, it should be waited to pray in the daytime where there are normally Muslims. In the next hadith, hadith 479, وعن عبد الله بن جعفر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لما جاء نعي جعفر حين قتل قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اصنعوا لآل جعفر طعاما فقد أتاه ما يشغلهم. اصنعوا لآل جعفر طعاما فقد أتاه ما يشغلهم. أخرجه الخمسة إلا النسائي. ناري عبد الله بن جعفر, may Allah be pleased with him, when the news of Ja'far's death come, means at the time when he was killed, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, prepare food for Ja'far's family. For that which has come to them, meaning the news of his death, preoccupies them. For that which has come to them, preoccupies them. Prepared by Al-Khamsa except An-Nisa'i. In this authentic hadith, when the death of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet was announced, and the Prophet came to know that, he said to his close family, اصنعوا لآل جعفر طعاما. make food for Ja'far's family. He died in Ghazwa to Mu'ta. The Ghazwa, where it was the first time Khalid bin Walid, he became a Muslim commander. Because Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he sent the expedition, the Sahaba, he said, if so and so is killed, so and so will be the leader. If so and so is killed, so and so will be the leader. And all three were killed. It was very severe battle. All three commander of arm, the Prophet named them, were killed. Then the Muslims, they chosen Khalid bin Walid. And then the Messenger, he affirmed that. He said, Saifullah, the sword of Allah took the flag. Who were those three? Who remember? Now, Abu Wa'il, Zayd ibn Haritha and Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Barakallahu fiqh, zadakallahu min fadl. Yes. Naam. Zayd ibn Haritha, and then Abdullah ibn Rawaha, and then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. So all three were killed. And you know, back days, if the leader of the arm is killed, it's not easy. So each one was struggling to continue leading the battle until they kill him. Then Khalid bin Walid, he took the leadership. From there on, they said Khalid bin Walid was never defeated in any battle. Subhanallah. Not only even in Islam, even in Jahiliyyah. They say it didn't happen that Khalid leading an army was ever defeated. And you remember the battle of Uhud, he was leading the mushrikeen. He was the head of the horses. He was cause of the defeat. Yes. How about the battle of Badr, which was before the battle of Uhud? The battle of Badr, which Abu Jahl was killed, 70 of the idol worshippers were killed. Where Khalid was? He was not. Khalid, he was not. He was not a part of that. Even though he would have been defeated. No question. Yes, but he was not there that day. Khalid, he was leading the Muslim army from that time until some Muslims started believing that it's Khalid who people they get the victory. When Umar came to know that, Umar radiallahu anhu, who was following Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and protecting people's tawheed and aqidah, he removed him. Khalid, he said, Khalid, if it's you who bring the victory, keep it with you. Don't lead arm anytime after now. Then Khalid, after time, he died normal with a lot of wound in his body. And he mentioned that the people don't die because of participating in the battle. He said, I'm dying on my bed like such and such. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So that battle is the one that Ja'far radiallahu anhu was killed. So when the news came to the Prophet sallam, he alayhi sallam said, Isna'u li ali Ja'farin ta'aman. Prepare food for Ja'far's family. His family, who got the news that he died, cook food for them. Why? فَقَدْ أَتَاهُمْ مَا يَشْغَلُهُمْ. What has come to them is that which preoccupies them, something making them busy, yani worrying about his death and what relate to him. Yes. So the sunnah is to make food for the family of the one who died, his family, the house he died from. And not that they make food for the people. It's the opposite. People cook food for them. Whether they bring the food for them or they are close relative and they cook the food in the same house for them. So it is the people who should cook food for them. The family who lost their beloved one. Not the family cooking food for the people, serving people. Also, the food which is being cooked for the family should be a food they needed. Not a food which will burden on them. Some people, some Muslims, when someone die from a family, almost every one of them bring food to their family. That the family, they cannot handle this food. One time I do remember, a brother called me, okay, what do I do? The house is full of food. The refrigerator is full. The house is full. What can we do? They cannot even carry. So now the point was to help these people. Is this helping them? Yes, this is a burden on them. My Jews. And that's Israf also. So I remember, where do I take? Which message accepting? We have people have to help him and take the food to the masajidis. Why are we doing that? Also, those who will make the food are usually the close family, are usually the friends, the neighbor, and the like. Not whole city. Al-Muhim, so and this food is not charity for Ja'far radiallahu anhu. It's not the intention is to be charity for the dead. Disease, no, it is to feed his family. To feed his family. Hadith 480 وعن سلمان وعن سليمان بن بريدة عن أبيه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمهم إذا خرجوا إلى المقابر أن يقولوا السلام على أهل الديار من المؤمنين والمسلمين من المؤمنين والمسلمين وإنا إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون نسأل الله لنا ولكم العافية رواه مسلم. This hadith is like the rest of the hadith is very important, especially if you want to visit the grave. This is what you should say it. Subhanallah, some of us, they don't know much about the sunnah. They don't know many of the sunnah. We visit grave, we don't know what to say. We just say our own supplications. Where there is teachings from Prophet, what should you say? And the like. So it's good to memorize this hadith. When you are praying janazah prayer on a Muslim, the dua time, there is specific dua to say it from Prophet to know that dua. Just like at tahiyyat, when you salah, there is dua from Prophet to know that dua. So likewise, when you visit a grave, there is dua. To learn that dua and to say it. This is from that dua. The Sahabi says, the Tabi'i says, Sulaiman ibn Burayda from his father, on the author of his father, he said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach them, meaning his companions, to say, when they went out to the cemeteries, peace be upon you, inhabitants of the dwellings. Peace be upon you, inhabitants of the dwellings, means these graves. Who are of the believers and the Muslims? If Allah wills, we shall join you. We ask Allah to grant us and you well-being. Reported by Muslim. This is what Prophet ﷺ used to say to the grave, to the cemetery, when he visited. Peace be upon you, inhabitants of the dwellings, who are of the believers and the Muslims. So not that's not for the non-Muslims. This is for the Muslims. If Allah wills, we shall join you. This is a reminding for the visitor of the grave that he may be one day someone who joined those who are inhabitants of that place. So, inna insha'Allah bikum lahiqun. And if Allah wills, we are going to join you. Nas'alullah lana wa lakum al-'afiyah. We ask Allah to grant us, the living and you, with the dead, well-being. This is one of the dua of the Messenger ﷺ collected by Imam Muslim. As-salamu ala ahli diyar. Peace be upon you. Some of the people of knowledge, they took from this hadith, like Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, that the dead, they hear the people, those who visit them. Because here, the dua is As-salamu ala ahli diyar, min al-mu'mineen wal-muslimat. This addressing them, peace be upon you, inhabitants of the dwellings, who are of the believers and the Muslims. If Allah will, we shall join you. It's addressing them, join you. We'll catch up with you, we'll join you. So they say this hadith is a proof that if anyone visit a grave of a Muslim and he says this dua, he hears it. Some of the scholars, like Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, said no. This hadith is not proof for that. Because we Muslims, when we pray, we say in our tashahud, As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-Nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, O you prophet. O you prophet. The same address. And the Sahaba, at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to say that even though they were in Mecca, in Yemen, in all over the world, and his son was in Medina, surely he was not hearing them, alayhi salam. He was not hearing them. So sometimes this is used to remember, to close, to get to nearer whoever you addressing. To be so close to your mind as you are addressing. Not necessarily that one, he hears you. Is this understandable? Do the dead hear the living? Those who are in the graves, do they hear the living? This is an issue the ulama, they differ. There is a great alim from the ulama of Hanafiya. He has a very noble book. His book is called Al-Ayatul Bayyinat fi Adami Sama'il Amwat inda Sadatil Ahnaf. The clear verses of that the dead don't hear. And that's based on the scholars of Hanafiya, ulama al-Hanafiya. Then this book, what gave us more beauty is Sheikh al-Albani. He explained, he brought other dalil. It's very nice book. Al-Ayatul Bayyinat fi Adam Sama'i al-Amwat in the Sadat al-Ahnaf lil-Alusi. Sahib al-Ruh al-Bayan. He has a big tafsir. The author of the book. And Sheikh al-Albani, you know him. The conclusion of that is, Sheikh al-Albani says, the meaning, if someone die, he turned to another life. That's the life of unseen to us. Therefore, we cannot see. The people in the grave are so and so without the proof. If we say they hear, we have to have proof. If we don't have it, then we are going to be al-qawlu ala Allah bila ilm. ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم. We're talking about something we have no knowledge. And it's not allowed in Islam. So the unseen, this is how Al-Sunnah, their manage. Don't say, this is what will happen in the grave, in the day of judgment. This is how Allah tabarak without. Allah says so and so. Allah doesn't like so and so. Allah forbid so and so. This is unseen. You have to have proof from Quran and Sunnah. Based on that, the Sheikh said there is two situations. The narrations show the dead hear the living. Two situations. What are they? Who remember? Now, two scenarios. The grave, those who are in the grave, they hear the living ones. The Sunnah shows that. نعم محمد. أحسنت. One incident, one situation is when the dead is buried. When he's buried, in that situation, he hears what they say. Not only that, he hears the noise of their shoes. He hears that. The hadith says that. That's when he's buried. That's when the angels come to him and make him sit down and question him. That's after burial complete. And that's when the Messenger ﷺ used to say, استغفروا لأخيكم واسألوا له التثبيت فإنه الآن يسأل. Ask Allah forgiveness for your brother and ask him to be firm. He is being questioned right now. Right now he's being questioned. At that moment, the person is sitting. The angel Munkar and Nakir are there. They are questioning. That's when the Messenger said he hears what's going around him, even the shoes of those who bury him. The second scenario, the dead here. Who remember? Naam. Yes. When Prophet Muhammad, he talked to the people, Abu Jahl and his group, after the battle of Badr. After the battle of Badr, when the idol worshippers, Abu Jahl, the pagans, were killed, seven of them, and they were thrown to the Qalib, after 3 days, the Messenger ﷺ come to them, and he said, قَدْ وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقًّا فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا. We have received what our Lord promised us. Have you received what Allah promised you? What your Lord promised you? So he asked this question, Abu Jahl and his group. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, oh, the Messenger of Allah, how are you talking to a people who decay, who become jifa? Prophet Muhammad said to Umar, La ma anta bimus ma anta bimusmi'in bi'asma'a minhum minni al-an, or kama qala alayhi salam. Shalbani mentioned that in that book. You don't hear me, O Umar, better than the way they hear me now. Now, the Prophet said, now. So this hadith is a clear proof that at that situation, Abu Jahl and his group, they did hear the Prophet. Other than that situation, whoever says they hear, like when a Muslim visit the grave, they have to bring a proof. Where is that in Quran? Where is that in Sunnah? If that's found, accept it. If not, ilmul ghayb. Is this very easy to understand? Very easy. What is the proof that they don't hear? That's the origin. The one who says, the origin is, we don't say they hear. If you say the dead, they hear the living, bring a proof. Until you bring in a proof, we are not accepting that from you. The one who takes that position has right. This is the correct manhaj. Don't say so anything about Allah except if you bring a proof. Don't say anything about the day of judgment except if you bring a proof. Don't say anything about the angels, about the jinn, except if you bring and the like. But with that, there are also proofs that show that they don't hear. Who can tell us one ayah? وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. O the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not the one who make hear those who are in the graves. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. You don't make those who are in the grave hear. Another ayah. نعم. إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. You indeed, you don't make the dead hear. وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّ الدُّعَاءَ إِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ. Nor do you make the deaf hear when he turned away. Someone who is a deaf, number one. Second, he's facing the other direction. Can you make him hear? Yes. Sometimes even the one who hear, if he turned the other direction, he may not even hear you or hear you well. How about the deaf who don't even hear you, doesn't hear you even if you look at you? So Allah said, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. You don't make the dead hear. وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّ الدُّعَاءَ. Nor do you make the deaf hear the call. When إِلَى وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ. If the deaf, they turn away, they go on the other direction. So this is a proof that the dead, they don't hear. Even though hear the dead, it means ماذا? It's the disbelievers. The disbelievers, they don't hear. Those, their hearts dead, they don't hear the truth. But that's example for the dead. For us. Just like the dead. This disbeliever, who after he come to know the truth, rejected it. And knowingly and intentionally objecting it and fighting it. Oh, the Messenger of Allah, you cannot make the haqq hear. You cannot make that person hear the truth. You can't. Just like the dead, you cannot make them hear. So that's the adilla. That's the adilla. Tayyib. Ala kulli hal. And Sufia, now they are very far. They're very extreme. They say they hear you wherever you are. They say they hear you wherever you are. You call Sheikh Jailan, you call Hussein, Ali, any Sheikh, Tijani, Rufa'i, Naqshbandi, Badawi, call them. Call them in English, in Amharic, in Arabic, in all of the language on the earth. Call them from North Pole, from South Pole, from Australia, from Africa, from Asia, from Stone Mountain. He hears you. وَالْعِيَادَ بِاللَّهِ. This is the description of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's Allah who hears everybody and every language. Subhanallah. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. So this is this. So this is the dua. السلام على أهل الديار من المؤمنين والمسلمات وإنا إن شاء والمسلمين وإنا إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون نسأل الله لنا ولكم العافية. That's one way. This another حديث عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بقبور المدينة فأقبل عليهم بوجهه فقال السلام عليكم يا أهل القبور يغفر الله لنا ولكم أنتم سلفنا ونحن بالأثر. رواه الترمذي وقال حسن. 481. Nari ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger passed by some graves in Al-Madinah, turned his face towards them and then said, peace be upon you, inhabitants of the graves. May Allah forgive us and you. You have gone before us and we are coming after you. Peace be upon you, inhabitants of the graves. May Allah forgive us and you. You have gone before us and we are coming after you. So this is another form of dua, of greeting to the dead. Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. Ya ahl al-qubur, oh the people of the graves. Yaghfiru Allahu lana wa lakum, Allah forgives us and you. Antum salafuna, you are our salaf. You are our salaf. This is the word salaf. So salaf means those who gone. Salaf. You are our salaf, the Prophet ﷺ says. Means in time-wise, you are ahead of us. You die before us. وَنَحْنُ بِالْأَثَرِ. And we are coming after you. We are on the trace. We are on the track. Next hadith, the last hadith in this chapter, وَعَنْ عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسبوا الأموات فإنهم قد أفضوا إلى ما قدموا. رواه البخاري وروى الترمذي عن المغيرة نحوه لكن قال فتؤذوا الأحياء. 482. narrated Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not revile the dead. Do not say bad about the dead. For they have reached what they have sent before them. For they have reached what they have sent before them. Al-Bukhari reported. At-Tirmidhi reported something similar from Al-Mughira. But he said, lest you hurt the living. Prophet said, lest you hurt the living. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forbade to say bad about the dead. Do not revile the dead. Why? فَإِنَّمْ قَدْ أَفْضَوْا إِلَى مَا قَدَّمُوا. For they have reached what they have sent before them. They already received what they did. So if they were bad people, they get in their bad. If Allah don't forgive them, subhanah, out of His mercy, doesn't forgive them. And if they are punished in the grave, they receive in their punishment. Why are you reviling them? Why are you saying negative about them? They pay in the price already. No reason. Another narration, the reason is also another hikmah, فَتُؤْذُوا الْأَحْيَاءَ, lest you hurt the living ones. When you say negative thing, one is about one's father, about one's brother, about one's uncle who died, what will happen? You hurting the believer, the Muslim. Even if the one who died was rebellious, was sinner, was a criminal, but you are hurting his son, you are hurting his wife, you are hurting his people when they hear that. So you're hurting the living, and also as for the dead, he already received. So what's the point of cursing them? That's if they were evil. How about if they were righteous? The Shia, a'udhu billah, in all their prayer, they curse Abu Bakr and Umar. It's like they don't have any other things. Allah said in Quran, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Those are ummah, they are people, they pass away. They gone. They get what they earn and you get what you earn. وَلَا تُسَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And you will not be asked about what they used to do. You will not be asked what they used to do. Why you keep on cursing someone who died? All the time, curse, curse, curse. What's the wisdom? You worship Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That one, whatever he deserved, he gets it. He lost his time. If he was bad, don't lose your time by making yourself busy with him. Yes, if that one he did, he spread innovations. And the point you won against him because of the innovations. People to avoid, that's different. That's not cursing. That's arfais, nasiha. But other than that, you shouldn't. Especially when it hurts those who are believing his family. رواه البخاري والعياذ بالله. This little rafida, subhanallah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They are the hypocrites of this ummah, the Shia. Cursing Abu Bakr, cursing Umar, cursing Aisha, cursing Abu Huraira. والعياذ بالله. That's all their religion. And they do to Ahlul Sunnah so bad. They did to Ahlul Sunnah from long time. Allahu Akbar. Ahlul Sunnah, they're going through a lot of hardships in the hand of Shia. Wallahi al-Azim. Putin will be Ahlul Sunnah. Sa'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yataqib ala Ahlul Sunnah min ha'ula. So they really... Ibn Taymiyyah read Minhaj Sunnah Nabawi about 700 years ago. They say, هم أضروا على المسلمين من اليهود والنصارى. Said the Rafida, they worse to the Muslims than the Jewish and the Christian. Wallahi, Ibn Taymiyyah says that. Ibn Kathir, the same thing. People, Ummah, who are very famous with filthy, lie, deception, lack of rahmah, wallahi, lack of aql, no intellect. They burn themselves. They kill themselves. See what they do in it. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الْعَافِيَةِ اللَّهُمَّ هَدِهِمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ يَا رَبِّ. So, don't, in this hadith, do not revile the dead, for they have reached what they have sent before them. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari. And Ibn Tirmidhi has the wording, less you hurt the living. Kitab al-Zakah, next hadith, next bab is a new kitab. This is the fourth kitab. Kitab al-Zakah. وما أدراك ما كتاب الزكاة كتاب الزكاة so far we went over the book of purification and second book the book of prayer and the third book we had is the book we finish now which is the book of funerals inshallah we started the book of zakah the book of zakah this is hadith 483 وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث معاذا رضي الله تعالى عنه إلى اليمن فذكر الحديث وفيه إن الله قد افترض عليهم صدقة في أموالهم تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري narrated Ibn Abbas may Allah be pleased with him the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent معاذ to Yemen رضي الله عنه Here he mentioned the rest of the hadith, which has Allah has made obligatory for them in their wealth a charity to be taken from their rich and returned to their poor. Allah has made obligatory for them in their wealth a sadaqah to be taken from their rich and returned to their poor, agree upon. And the wording is from Al-Bukhari. In this hadith, the Sahabi, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he was great from the ulama of the Sahaba. Even though the Sahaba, they were all ulama, people of knowledge, all of them. But they didn't have the same status. Some of them had more knowledge. And they are those whom Prophet ﷺ used to send to call people to Islam, not everybody. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ His Sahaba, he knew them. Some of them he used to use to call people to Islam. Send to Yemen, like this hadith, Mu'ad, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Ali ibn Abi Talib. All these, they were sent to Yemen. Other Sahaba, they were sent to different places. Even Medina, Musa ibn Umair from Makkah, Prophet is sending to Medina, Musa ibn Umair, who was killed in the battle of Uhud as well. So some of his Sahaba, Prophet used to give da'wah. Who were they? Go and you will know they were the most knowledgeable of the companion. Some of them, he sallam, used to make them lead the arm. The arm, not everybody. Like we have mentioned Khalid bin Walid. Some of them, he sallam, used to assign to make adhan for him. Doesn't allow anybody else. Thousands of Sahaba in the Prophet's masjid, including Abu Bakr, Umar, and the like, they were not used to make adhan. Who used to make adhan? A specific Sahaba chosen by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because they qualify. Prophet sallam, He used to make some of the Sahaba the leaders of Medina when he leave Medina. Not everybody. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to assign some of the Sahaba to collect the wealth, the charity, the sadaqah. Not everybody. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to consult with some of his Sahaba. Not everybody. Like Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr and Umar. I and Abu Bakr and Umar. I and Abu Bakr and Umar. Say the Prophet say a lot. He used to consult with them. Therefore, the day of the Battle of Uhud, when seven of the companion of Prophet were killed, and the news that the Prophet was killed spread, Abu Sufyan, he asked questions. He said, "Is the Messenger, is the Muhammad alive?" He mean the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, "Don't answer to him." Abu Sufyan, he said, "Is Abu Bakr alive?" Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't answer to him." Sahaba, they remain silent. Abu Sufyan, he asked third question, "Is Umar alive?" Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't answer to him." Sahaba, they kept silent. Then he said, Abu Sufyan, "In that case, lana uzza lahum wala uzza lakum. Lana uzza wala uzza lakum." He said that idol worship, they have the idol of Uzza, and the Muslims, they don't have Uzza. He thought Prophet ﷺ die, Abu Bakr die, Umar die, because nobody defended, nobody answered. There, when they say that statement, when he said, Prophet, he commanded the Sahaba to respond to him. Say, Allahu Mawlana wala Mawla lakum. Allah is our Mawla, and you don't have Mawla. Allahu Akbar. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma ja'alna min atba'i nabiyyika sallallahu alayhi wa sallam haqqan. When they say Prophet sallam, he died, Abu Bakr died, Umar died, Prophet, he didn't answer to them. But when they praise idol, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam command to answer to them. That is Allah who give the Mawla, who has, who support, who aid. So the point is, Abu Sufyan, he knew the leaders of the Muslims. He started with the Prophet sallam, then he asked Abu Bakr, then he asked about Umar. He didn't ask other people. Even the idol worship, they knew them. And now Shia come, Rafida, they say Abu Bakr, he was hypocrite. Umar, he was hypocrite. Even Mushrikeen know they're lying. Wal'iyad billah. In this hadith, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Mu'ad to Yemen. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him how he should call people to Islam. What he should he focus on? He started with the Tawheed. Then he said, and then the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he tell him to start to next address the Salah if they accept the Tawheed. And then if they accept the Salah, to address the Zakah. So the Ibn Hajar, he took that portion from Hadith because it's about the Zakah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Tell them that Allah has made obligatory for them in their wealth, صدقه تؤخذ من اغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم. Charity to be taken from their rich and returned to their poor. So in this hadith, the ulama, they use the zakah. People who have zakah from a stone mountain, they don't send that zakah to somewhere else. They don't send it to Africa or Asia or somewhere else. They give it to the poor Muslims who are here in Istanbul. Because the hadith says, their rich is being taken and returned to their poor. Therefore, the ulama like Sheikh Uthaymeen and the like, they say, don't send the zakah to the outside. As long as there is in the city you live, Muslims who are qualified. And some scholars, they say the hadith is not specifically talking about specific Muslims, but talk about the general, that the zakah is taken from the wealth of the Muslims and returned to the poor of the Muslims. And therefore, it's general. If you give to any poor, as long as he's a Muslim and he's a poor, then you fulfill. Al-Muhim, the safety is whoever giving zakah to give to the poor Muslims in the land he lives. If there is no one accepting it, Allah make the people rich, alhamdulillah, or he doesn't know any after trying and the like, then in that case, yes. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.